Kathy say that he should not necessarily that he cannot?
Yeah, that this is the New Jerusalem. You're referring to the King James where it says should not. He should be the husband of one wife. And again, here again, it's up to translators on how they interpret the Greek. But here again, this, as James Stivers, now we're going to refer to the work of Mr. James Stivers frequently. I'm going to give out the web address. You need to have your pencils ready because this is probably, of all the things I've read, this is one of the most concise works that I've ever seen in only 36 pages to nail this subject down. Logically, biblically, historically, you name it, it's nailed down by this document. Now, I'm going to also refer to some other excellent works of other people that are just as, they're very sound also, but for just one source to go through covering the nuts and bolts of this thing from start to finish, this is one of the best I've ever seen. But he goes into a description of Titus here in the fact that it is mistranslated, and many people use this to put down the idea of a plural marriage or a patriarchal family, whichever term you want to use, polygamy, whatever. However, he shows that this actually proves the fact that it was practiced even into the Christian era. In fact, in his book, he'll say he has proof that it was practiced clear up into around 1000 to 1200 AD.
And it's just the fact that it's mentioned in Titus tells you that it was being practiced.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's irrefutable that this has been a common practice. And when I say our people, I'm talking about the people of the Bible, the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Gaelic, and related Caucasian peoples of the world. They are the people of the Bible. That's who we're talking about, the ancient Hebrews. This is our custom, and we're going to get into it tonight as to why this custom was not only allowed, but was very prominent amongst our people for many thousands of years, and only recently, and because of an enemy, let me point this out, an enemy of our people instituted laws against this, and they came from pagan Rome and pagan Greece, the laws against this, and the Catholic Church under control of the Jewish Jesuits. And we're also going to discuss why would an enemy want to make it illegal for our people to practice this? So we're going to cover that tonight, too.
Okay. There is, if you don't mind, there is one more. I mentioned the three.
Yes.
Just to let people check it out themselves.
Mm-hmm.
In Exodus chapter 21, verse 10, it says that if he marries another woman, he must not deprive the first one of her food, clothing, and marital rights. That tells you right there that polygamy, the multiples, were in place back then. So you have celibacy in Matthew 19:12, you have monogamy in Titus 1:6, and you have the polygamy of the multiples in Exodus 21:10. All three of these are in the scriptures, and each of them have, if you want to call it rules, regulations, things to follow, to make them, to live them according to his word, but they are all acceptable, because if they weren't, I don't see how they would be in the scriptures, and I don't see why Yahweh would mention them and have rules and regulations concerning them if they were not acceptable to him.
Exactly. Well, it was acceptable, and again, that's where we're going to get into this discussion tonight, and the various works that are available out there by other men on this subject, excellent works. And besides the fact, ladies and gentlemen, whether we like to admit it or not, there are many people living this lifestyle in this country and around the world today under the radar screen. And why do they stay under the radar screen? Because of the persecution of their brothers and sisters. People say, well, it's against the law, as Mr. Stivers points out in his book very well. It's never, almost never enforced, just like we have laws against cohabiting with other people. We have laws against certain sexual practices. They're never enforced. This one isn't. We had laws, let me put it that way, against homosexuality. Obviously, they're not being enforced. So, as he says, it is a moot point to argue that, quote, the statutory laws say it's illegal. Well, we got people running around doing all kinds of things that are not only illegal, they're immoral, and yet this society tolerates them. So that is a moot argument against the practice of this ancient lifestyle. Go ahead. I think I interrupted you, didn't I?
No, that's okay. You're on the roll. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, I want to, real quick here, I want to give out the website for this book. Again, the book is Eros Made Sacred, and Eros is the Greek word for erotic love or passionate love, E-R-O-S. Eros Made Sacred, the Biblical Case for Polygamy or Polygyny, by J. Wesley Stivers, and you can go to this website, and it's free. The whole book is right there. It's not that long of a book, actually. It's www.nancycisandcharlieg.org/epizinfoxtrot/stivers, S-T-I-V-E-R-S, stivers-preface, P-R-E-F-A-C-E, .html. And if they just put the first part of that web address in there, they can go ahead through the different links and find the book itself, or they can put the whole long thing I just gave out. And hopefully everybody got that. Again, it's www.nccg.org/fecpp/stivers-preface.html. And again, they can go to that whole book. Just an excellent thing. Anybody wants to call in and refute anything that Mr. Stivers has written in there or anything we're talking about, that's fine. Call it up because a lot of years has been devoted in study and in prayer and in thought on this important issue, and so we welcome any kind of feedback.
Well, if you'd like to agree with it, that's fine too.
Oh, yeah, that's certainly fine too. So we've got Mr. Stivers' website. We also know that Pastor Bob Hallstrom, and I can't remember the ministry, if anybody out there has these tapes, I've listened to them a couple of years ago. Excellent. 4-tape set on this issue, and again, Bob Hallstrom nails it down. If you either read James's book here, James Stivers' book, or listen to these tapes by Bob Hallstrom, it's irrefutable. You cannot refute it. And they can get a hold of him, do a web search or whatever on Bob Hallstrom, H-A-L-L-S-T-R-O-M, Hallstrom. And also, go look into the archives of the Jubilee newspaper, the Jubilee, which a lot of the listeners here ought to be familiar with that publication, and go back in the archives of that paper and find the articles written by Jonathan David Brown, excellent articles that he contributed to the Jubilee talking about this subject and nailing it down. Each of these guys nailed it down. One last source you can look up is a book entitled Christian Polygamy by Pastor Stephen Butts, B-U-T-T-S. And in it, I've read that book also, in it are his take on the biblical aspects of this and also testimonies from his four wives as to why it is a beneficial lifestyle and how it works for them, etc. Just great sources. And here again, people have to understand, we're not talking about legalizing or legitimatizing the guys that want to go out and play a bunny rabbit. We're not talking about the guys that want to go out and have five or six girlfriends on the hook at the same time. These are all part of what's called fornication. Fornication is ungodly. In fact, as James Stivers points out, the whole reason for polygyny was to stop or prevent uncleanliness within Jacob Israel.
Can I interject something?
Certainly.
Just real quick, just something for the people to think about is for the last little over 4 decades, if they think back in their little brains here, back in the 60s, we had the free love. Back in the 70s, we started the co-eds in the colleges and things.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 80s and 90s, the power couple was born. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That is
mm-hmm.
when a man and a woman live together, but they still have their separate lives, both share everything, including themselves, but but they're not married and they're not a couple. They're what they're called, referred to as a power couple. That's what those are. And now, here in the 21st century, this is how far we've come, where we have same-sex marriages. The Yahweh has been taken out of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, even today, polygamy or multiples are not accepted. They're not tolerated. What? It just amazes me that we have all this, these things going on over the past 40-some years, and yet something as simple and honest and straightforward and scriptural as multiples is so put down and so not tolerated.
Well, see, everything's upside down today. We've talked about that since 1999 when we first brought this radio program up. We've had hundreds of guests on this program. And what it is there is an attack against not only Christ and what he taught us, but the people of the Bible. Now, here again, anybody listening to this program should understand that, quote, the Jews are not the people of the Bible. Sorry, folks. If that hurts your feelings, then you just need to go out and do your research. However, the Israelites of old are found in, as we said, the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Germanic, and etc. kindred peoples in the world. They are the tribes of Israel. And there is an enemy. The scripture tells us that we would have an enemy. All the prophecies talk about that. If you read the story of Jacob and Esau, it starts with Cain in the garden. But Jacob and Esau, Jacob had his 12 sons. Esau hated Jacob, because Jacob, being the younger son, got the blessing that he thought he should have gotten. So there's been this enmity from Genesis 3:15 with the two seeds, through Edom Esau hating Jacob and his sons and daughters because of the birthright deal. So we have enemies. Now, see, the modern-day church tries to tell everybody that, oh, we're all the same under God's eyes, and everybody should just love everybody and get along and just put our weapons down and just disarm ourselves. Well, let me tell you something. That's Satan whispering in your ear. Because if you read the scripture, it says, there will be enmity and warfare on the earth till Shiloh come. So Messiah sits on the throne. He's coming back as a king, folks. He's not coming back as a wimpy carpenter and going to tolerate this nonsense. He's coming back as a king with a scepter of iron. His law will be law of the land, whether we like it or not. If you say, I don't like monarchies, well, guess what? He's a monarch. You say, well, I don't want to be ruled over. I want to make up my mind about what's right and wrong. Well, guess what? He's coming back as king. He's going to have a scepter of iron. He's going to be telling you the way it is. There won't be any of this, well, I interpret it different than you. No, he will be telling you straight up. There is no arguing with the master. We can sit around and play this little game of, well, I don't believe what you say, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. Well, guess what? Time's coming very soon, folks. You're not going to be able to. So you better try as best you can to figure out what's right and wrong now, because very soon it won't be a question of whether you like it or not. It's going to be a question of you obey me or you're on the outside of the gates in utter darkness, wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's it. That's your choices. And this aspect of his kingdom has never been done away with. I've challenged every congregation I ever spoke in front of to show me where the Master, our Heavenly Father Yahweh, ever changed his mind about what he established for his people, including these three types of lifestyles. And I have yet to have anybody show me where he changed his mind. What they tell me is they don't like it, especially the ladies or the Entex husbands, whichever the case may be. They're both females. So those are the ones who attack it the most. And I'm going to get to, again, I want people to understand something. We're not saying everybody has to go out and do this. We're saying you had better stop persecuting those who are doing it correctly according to the Word. Go ahead, Sharice.
Well, you're in such a role here.
Well.
That's okay. Well, I do have a question for you. I did kind of a little poll myself this past week and called a couple different people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions that came up a couple times was, when was polygamy outlawed or banned? Who took it away?
Okay,
who did it?
Okay, we're going to cover that. Before we do that, though, since I named the program Jacob's Pen Theory, let me tell folks where that comes from first.
Okay.
So hold that question, would you?
Sure.
Okay, we go to Genesis 31, verse 33. Laban went into Jacob's tent, and then into Leah's tent, and the tent of the two slave girls or concubines, but he found nothing. He came out of Leah's tent and went into Rachel's. This formulated my thinking about how did it work? How did they practically, on a day-to-day basis, make a multiple marriage situation work in the Ancient of Days? And that's when I developed Jacob's Tent Theory. As you look at the world around us today, how many times do you hear a mother talk about the fact she can't stand her grown daughter under the same roof? Women typically have a hard time, unless they're very special women. Now, that there is a case where women can do it, very special women with the right personalities. But in general, women are very territorial, very possessive. As you will find out if you go into any woman's kitchen and start messing around, you're going to find out how territorial she is. So what they did in ancient times, and where Jacob, what did he do? He had a tent for each of the wives and their children. This kept peace in the extended family because each of them had their own domain where they were so-called the queen of the roost, all right? They ruled the roost, and that kept more peace and harmony. And also notice that Jacob had his own tent. So, and people say, well, that's ridiculous. Is it so really ridiculous? My grandmother's home, my grandfather and grandmother had a home that was built in the 1800s. And guess what? It had a parlor in it with sliding doors in the walls so that the men could go in there after dinner and sit and smoke their cigar or have a drink or whatever and discuss the issues of the day and slide the doors closed to keep the women and children out. Isn't that amazing? And in today's society, the men have what? It's called a garage. In some cases, it's a basement. And it's where they go to tinker and work and reload guns or sharpen swords or work on fishing lure or whatever. But it's their, quote, tent to get away from the wife and the children for a while for some peace and quiet. Well, Jacob had his tent for the same reason. In fact, it was much more strict in the days of Jacob. A woman, whether wife or not, nobody entered his tent unless he summoned them. You didn't just go barging in on Jacob in his tent. That was his private domain where he could sit, he could do business, he could relax, he could think about things, whatever. You didn't bother Jacob in his tent. I can remember as a boy growing up on the farms of my grandfather's, life was not so much different. When Grandpa came in, my one grandfather had 10 children with his wife, large family, it was this idea. When father went up and went into the parlor by himself, you didn't mess with him. And the women kept the children quiet. You see the same principle at work here thousands of years later, only we don't call it the same thing. We think we're so much different today. Really, we're not. We are the same people. And in fact, what we're not, we're not living his godly law. We are telling people we have enforced monogamy, which, as Mr. Cyrus points out, is a terrible thing to put on a society of our people, because it will cause all kinds of things, including witchcraft. It will cause us to go to fornication, because some of our men have higher libidos than others. And as he says in his book, marriage was his answer to fornication. Polygamy was his answer to excessive passion. And it also created large families, which were powerful, and large economic units. That is the positive side of what this lifestyle will do for people. It is also why we became such a prolific people in Egypt. In the story in Genesis and the Exodus of our people in Egypt, we outnumbered the Egyptians in a very short period of time, and as Mr. Stivers goes through the mathematics of it, that could only have been done with rampant multiple families, multiple wives. That's the only way it could have been done, and it was practiced for a very, very long period of time. I think I got everything covered there if you want to go to your question.
I think you pretty much covered everything.
Well, did I?
Almost.
Oh, okay. Well,
okay.
Well, hit the question again.
Let me just give you the question again.
All right.
When did polygamy become outlawed, and by whom?
Okay, well, I'm trying to find it in his book real quick, but I don't have it bookmarked. I'll go from memory, though, from reading the book. I think it was somewhere, it was practiced even into the Christian era, up until around 900 A.D. or 1000 A.D. It was about that time that the Jews outlawed it through the Catholic Church. And they took it from Roman law, and the Romans took monogamy from the Greeks, the decadent Greeks. It was never practiced amongst the ancient Hebrews. Monogamy, forced monogamy. Now, monogamy is an honorable state, don't get me wrong. However, forced monogamy, in other words, you only get one wife, one man, one wife for life, has been, that was only practiced in pagan societies, as Mr. Stiver shows in his evidence. And the irony is, just as in America today, and in a lot of so-called Western nations, we say we are monogamous, and yet look at the pornographic industry, look at the prostitution industry, look at the number of infidelities amongst married men and women, look at a number of mistresses, which is just another name for a concubine. It's being practiced everywhere, and the problem is that we're hypocrites.
As long as you don't call her wife, you can have 100 girlfriends.
Well, look, yeah, exactly. You can be a, quote, stud out here with 5 or 6 girlfriends on the hook, and that's quite all right in this society. Well, tell me, I'm going to tell you something. That is called fornication, and it's not all right with our father. You can have serial polygamy going on, which is going on right now at an alarming rate, meaning you can marry this one, have a couple of kids, go marry that one, have 1 or 2, go marry the next one, 1 or 2, and abandon all the ones behind you. That's okay. But if you were to say, well, I'm going to keep all 3 of them and either have them under 1 big house roof or 3 separate homes, and I'm going to maintain my duty to these women and these children, you're a devil. Oh, my God, how can you even speak of such a thing? But leaving him in a trail of misery behind you, oh, that's acceptable. So tell me this world isn't upside down.
Well, see, now that's where government comes in and forces you to pay.
Well,
if the woman
paying is one thing, but the law of coverture says a man is supposed to be in the home to maintain discipline, to teach the children. He is the spiritual leader of the house. The scripture also says that a woman and her children are saved through the husband. So why would an enemy love seeing this trail of broken marriages? Because it's a lot of vulnerable women and children to the Nakash serpent race that's out here amongst us.
And it's coin in their pocket.
And it's, exactly, they're making a fortune out of it, and there's a lot of women being taken advantage of and being their property stolen or coerced into prostitution or fornication. It's a hellish situation out here, and the more you read the materials of these 4 men that I talked about, the more the case is made in a very positive manner that this was one of the ways to keep us out of that trouble. And it was obvious then, around 1000 AD, when the assault started heavily to run this biblical lifestyle out of the picture. So that our people would be decimated. Our numbers, look at our numbers. We went from being the most populous race on the planet to less than 8% today. Why is that? Because we are not doing what our Heavenly Father said. It's break time.
Daniel?
Let's take a short station break.
Daniel?
Yes, sir.
How about if I give you an email first to ponder during the break?
Okay, an email first to ponder during the break. Go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, okay, I can hear you, yeah.
In the biblical days, due to the wars, polygamy was necessary in that there were more women than men, as the men often died in the wars, and the women and children needed to be taken care of. A man was given a year off to start a family before he went to war. I wonder what this means today and what is probably coming down the road, i.e., George Washington's vision. Do you think polygamy will exist during the millennium? Regards, Murray.
Murray. Okay, we'll get to that right after the break.
This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the internet at realityradionetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Quayle, and for over 10 years and thousands of hours of radio broadcasts, I've been warning and preparing individuals and families of the great perils that are now upon us by having interviews with some of the more interesting and controversial guests in the country. It benefits you to listen in to my previous radio broadcasts, which are available by subscription to archiveondemand.com or by calling Steve Melking at 260-356-356. 2611. Time is running out. The information you may gain could mean the difference between life and death. So once again, call Steve Melching at 260-356-2611.
And now back to Pastor Dan.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Murray asked a very good question. While I'm still looking for a piece of information, Sharice, do you want to go ahead and read your poem?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
The title of the poem is Theory of Jacob's Tents. How can we go strong and true in a land where the wicked reign, where trying to follow Yahweh's laws can cause such misery and pain? Divide and conquer, Jacob Israel. That's the oldest trick in the book. But we fall for it every time. Maybe it's time we take a second look. Throughout our nation's history, our families grew strong and true. We multiplied to outnumber the stars. So why are we so few? How many children do we have per each household today? How many children can one woman bear before she withers away? Why must a woman be left alone to raise a child or two? Why can't she have help from a sister or friend whose interest is just as strong and true? There is a way. Just open your heart to the theory of Jacob's tents and know that if all believe in Yahweh's word, then in your heart the truth will grow. Thank you, Daniel.
Okay, very good.
Did you find your information?
No, I read it and I should have put a bookmark by it, but I had no idea the question would come up. However, I do know it's in Eros Made Sacred. He talks about that. Yes, Murray brought up a point that's often brought up by those who criticize this lifestyle. Back then, I want you to understand something. James Stivers has all the facts to back it up. All through the history of our people, women typically outnumber. Women of marriageable age, age of marriage, outnumber the men. And it's not just wars. As he points out, it can be homosexuality, it can be slothfulness, it can be physically impaired, it doesn't matter. There is almost always, at every point, no matter whether we were engaged in warfare or not, that women capable of being married and raising children have outnumbered our men, almost in every single case. So it really doesn't matter if you're talking 6,000 years ago or 6 days ago. The fact of the matter is there will always be more women available than men to do the job. And especially today, where the heck are our men? As far as testosterone, I wish there was a thing down at the GNC where we could get our men to go down there and take some testosterone tablets and start growing a backbone again, because we are severely lacking in males that have any kind of biblical stoutness to them today at all. And so here we go. Murray asked a good question. Does he think it's going to happen? It has never stopped, folks. The Mormons weren't the only ones practicing it. Let me give a quick story. A few years ago, my father called me from a family reunion, and this was from a distant relation, so anybody trying to go find out who this is, forget it. You'll never figure it out. But anyway, a distant relation of mine, he was at the farm, and he said, "Dan, guess what?" And I said, "What's that?" He says, your great uncle's here. And I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yep." And he's got two farmhouses on this big old farm. And I said, "You're kidding me." I said, "What's he want with two farmhouses?" He says, "Well, he's got a wife and children in each of them." Jacob's tent theory. And I said, "Really?" And I said, "Well, what's the rest of the family think about it?" And he says, "Nobody here has had a problem with it. They've been here for over 25 years. And the townspeople don't have a problem with it. The community doesn't have a problem with it. The local church doesn't have a problem with it. And our family doesn't have a problem with it." And I'm only giving that as an example. I know, and you know, Sharice, we know personally, five or six families?
We know a few.
We know a few who practice this today. They know many people who practice this today. In fact, on a trip through Missouri not long ago in Springfield, there was a convention being held, and Stephen Butts, the author of the book, Christian Polygamy, was holding a symposium, if you want to call it that, on this topic, and there were all kinds of people there from the local area. This is something that's been going on, folks, but we've kept it in the closet. What we're saying is we need to bring this out of the closet. We need to stop persecuting people trying to do it right. And here again, this is not to say that those who practice monogamy are wrong. No, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is each of us is given different gifts. I can't even begin to fathom being celibate. I can't even begin to fathom that. However, I do know that there are men given that calling. They have absolutely no desire for marriage or a woman. That's fine. That's a calling from our Father. Praise Yahweh. By the same token, those who are truly happy and completely satisfied and have all they can handle in a monogamous relationship, that's fine too, guys. Nobody's giving you, nobody's saying anything wrong with that. But for you or the celibates to tell those who can practice true biblical polygamy, to tell them that they are wrong, you are the people who are in error. And I don't have the scripture in front of me, but it says, woe to those who will tell others that they are ungodly when in fact they are living a godly lifestyle and you are not. Or just the fact that you are, but you're telling them not to do something because you don't like it. You see, there's a big difference between what's moral and what's your value system. And what's happening in this world today, we got a lot of these, I don't even know what term to give them. We got a lot of these people who want to prejudge and put their, quote, value system onto others, and it doesn't have anything to do with what God has in his moral code. That's the people I'm warning. Watch out, folks. When you condemn another because of your, quote, emotionalism or your value system, when in fact what they're doing is biblical. Now, again, let me tell you something. This lifestyle was decimated and run out of our people's lives by an enemy. It wasn't done by a friend. It was done by an enemy. And as you read these books of all the very positive things about this lifestyle, you're going to find out why they did it. Because there is tremendous power in a people, talking about all of us here together, practicing all three lifestyles, big, big power there. Big, huge numbers, lots of power, lots of strength, lots of fidelity. Guess what? We're not this little island out here to be picked off one at a time. And that's when you're going to find out. And again, yes, Murray, I think it has never stopped been practiced, and it will be practiced openly when the kingdom is fully established. Now, Sharice, I think you had something you were going to tell me or ask me or whatever. You don't remember it, huh?
No, it's here. It just...
Well, let me go to my next verse then while you're thinking of that. I wanted John... Chapter 8, verse 32, you will come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Folks, if you're not a truth seeker, you really shouldn't even be listening to this program. I, since I was a boy, wanted the truth no matter what it cost me in time or money, and no matter what I found out. And everybody listening to this program should be in that category, and if you're not, then you need really to tune us out and go tune in something else. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. And if this lifestyle is truthful, and I'm convinced it is, and so are the men who wrote these articles, if it is, then we need to stop persecuting those people that are doing it right. In fact, we should be encouraging them and helping them because we are dying out, folks. The enemy has come, crept in amongst us, the evil knockoff whispering in our women's ears and some of our men's ears, and they have decimated our ranks. And we are quickly dying out as his people on this planet. Go ahead, Sharice.
No, I was just, my other question was, if there was some kind of a going into, okay, we know that it is scriptural.
Yes, that's a given.
This is a given. Okay. Now, some of the ladies that I had spoken to, some of their concerns and their questions are simple things like, is there a criteria to follow for the man in a multiple marriage relationship and situation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the same criteria whether you have one or 100. Doesn't matter. A man takes a wife as a helpmeet. That's how it started out. And as the mother of his children. He takes her in. He is to love her as his own body. He is to see to her physically, emotionally, seek her needs and wants as best as he can, and she's not to lord over him or dominate him.
And financially.
Well, that to me is physical. That's right. Financially, he's supposed to be able to provide for her. Now,
Daniel?
Yes, sir.
You have a caller feed when you're ready.
We have what?
You have Grace on the line with a question for Sharice.
Grace?
Yes.
Grace on the line for a question. Okay, put Grace on. Grace, can you hear us?
Yes.
I can barely hear you.
My question is for Sharice. This is one of the problems that I have personally, but I was wondering, how does a woman who would be considered the first wife yield the closeness and history and the physical and emotional history that she shares with her husband to allow him to establish that same kind of relationship with another woman? It seems very hard for me emotionally to try to accept that. Do you have any comments or answers for that question?
Okay. Could you hear that, Sharice?
No, I could not.
Okay. Let me see if I can encapsulate this, Grace. Basically, let's say you're the first wife and there's another wife coming in. How do you handle the husband establishing the emotional and physical bonding with another woman? How do you handle that?
Yes.
Is that it, Grace?
Yes.
Okay.
To me, that would be, would depend on the ladies involved, the women. If one of the things that was also brought up when I was doing my study was that one of the things that women have to have, or women need to have, is the security. Security in their faith with the father, and security in their own relationship with their husband. If you're the first wife, if you have a strong relationship and a strong trust in the father and your husband and in your relationship, bringing in another woman should not affect those emotions. The man has the ability to love, care for, and cherish more than one. Yahweh gave that to him. I honestly believe that in my heart of hearts. And the women, if we look at it as having help, having a sister, a friend, and not as an enemy or a competition, if you're willing to share, it's one of those give-give situations. If you're both willing to give to that relationship and that family to help that man and that patriarch grow and prosper, you're both going to prosper right along with him. And sharing that man should not be an issue.
Okay. I was just going to say, does that answer, Grace?
A little bit. We've been discussing it throughout the week. And I have one more comment, and it's in relation to the last newsletter your wife sent out. This is on a positive note.
Okay.
For women who are unable to have children, I see this as an opportunity for them to experience childbirth and labor and caring for a child as much as possible. I know that surrogacy, in today's terms, is all scientific and medically manipulated, but according to the Bible, a woman could be able to have those joys if her body was unable to. And also, in today's terms, anybody who is a surrogate mother can also, you know, go ahead and train her body to get ready to nurse and feed and care for a baby. So, in relationship to your last newsletter, that might be an option for some women who, you know, are in a good marriage and who see this as a viable choice instead of opting for, you know, medical intervention.
Yes. Excellent point. Thanks, Grace.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Grace made a good point there. So could you hear?
I could just hear Barry. Hear exactly what she was saying.
In a nutshell, there are women out there who cannot have children for one reason or another.
Right.
Would not this lifestyle, and we're speaking of polygamy, would it not allow a woman to partake in the joys of motherhood even as a surrogate, so to speak?
Absolutely, and that's one of the things I was going for too, is the fact that especially when it's a young mother and a new mother, when she really has no experience, especially if it's the first child, she has that other woman to help her and to, you know, allow her to rest and recuperate, and it just seems that being shared, it would go both ways.
Mm-hmm.
It would go in both directions, especially for a woman that does not have children, that can't for whatever reason.
Right.
That would give her a chance to be able to show affection and learn herself
how to deal with a child, and they learn and grow together, and as the children grow, come and the children multiply, and if you bring in more than one or two, you come together. To me, that is a bonding. And one of the questions that was asked before, real quick here, is could the multiples be harmful to a child? Now, this question, to me, the answer to that is absolutely not. Because if you stop and think about it, if all people are in agreement with this kind of a situation, with this lifestyle, then those children that are born in that household, under that patriarch, will be raised and protected, not only by that patriarch, but also by all the women involved, whether they're the mothers or not.
Yeah.
They are family.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. Folks that think that this would be a bad thing for children to hear, I don't want to hear a word from them until I see their name on the list of people down at the local school teaching homosexuality to the children. I want to see their name on the list of people arrested for the protesting of the queers being pushed on our children in the schools. After I see their name on there, then they can jump on the bandwagon to try to put this lifestyle down. But these hypocrites aren't going to get anywhere with me until I see that. Grace, are you still on the line?
I think she left.
Okay. Okay. Well, very good. Let me make another point, too, while you were talking, Cherise. People have to understand something. This lifestyle is not for everybody. It takes a lot of work, dedication, and compromise. So therefore, just that alone will tell you that it's not for the average bear. However, that doesn't mean that there aren't some who are equipped.
Well,
here's the thing. The bottom line, that everybody's got to understand something. The bottom line is this is only for those who have an unconditional, unselfish love of our race. That has to be in your heart. An unconditional, unselfish love to see our race grow and prosper as it was scripturally told us to do many millennia ago. Be fruitful and multiply has always been a commandment written on the hearts of our people. And if you don't have that on your heart, and you don't have that unselfish love of your people, then you should stay as far away from this as you can get. Because really, at the bottom of it, that has to be there.
Yeah, if people would stop and think about it, what we've talked about this evening is about the three basic lifestyles, the celibacy, monogamy, and polygamy, and with them all being scriptural, and trying to force one or the other on anybody would be like forcing a carpenter to be a weaver or a farmer to be a bricklayer mason. It doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
We all have our different talents that Yahweh has given us, our different gifts, and part of that gift for some of the men have the gift of being able to handle more than one.
Yes. And
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, James Stivers picks out a great example of what you're talking about. What institution does everybody know today that it enforces celibacy? The Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, quite erroneously, tells people that if you want to serve God, you have to be celibate. And that's talking to the women as nuns and the men as priests. And look at the hell that has created. All the things coming out now about the pedophilia and the pregnant nuns and all this other stuff. Folks, as Mr. Stivers points out, it is an ungodly thing to do to enforce any of these lifestyles on another person. And here you have institutionalized celibacy within the Catholic Church, and what a joke that is. And it's the same thing in our society. We're promoting ourselves as being a monogamous society while we've got young studs out here with 3, 4, 5 girlfriends on the hook. Oh, how come you're not going after them? We've got serial polygamy going on at 50 to 60% of our marriages falling apart. So serial polygamy is going on. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, you think it's fine to do everything against God's law. But those that want to actually do it His way, you want to put down. Tell me there's something isn't wrong with this picture here. We tolerate everything in this society today except those who are trying to do it right. Go ahead.
Now, I just wanted to also, in case someone, people are out there listening, and if they remember over the last few years, there's the different programs on the Boob Tube about that one man from Utah that has like five or six wives and has 27 children. What they have to understand is the fact that his children are on welfare. His wives, he even took a mother and daughter as wife. This is all unscriptural. Okay,
right.
We have to realize that this is a very poor example of what true multiples or the true Jacob Petten theory is all about. And one of the questions asked before from a friend of mine was, why would the media insist on putting such a negative spin on this particular topic? And that is because scripturally, polygamy, the multiples, it's sound and it works when done correctly and done according to his laws and his statutes. And the one reason that they are so afraid and that they put this kind of spin on it, I believe, is that because we, as the true sons and daughters of Jacob Israel, if given the chance, and if we would choose to live according to Yahweh's laws and statutes, we would multiply and we would take back what is rightfully ours.
Amen. That's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. The whole reason that they do that, well, who controls the media? Anybody listening to this program ought to have the answer to that one. The Zionist Antichrist Jews, of course. And who hates Christ and his sons and daughters? Peace. Could you say the same group of people? So would they want us practicing this? Absolutely not. In fact, I've got quotes in my files here of Jews bragging about it, and we talked about it earlier this week on the program. Jews in the past, in the late 1800s and early 1900s, bragging about the fact they would get a stupid goyim, and that's what they call us, stupid cattle, to kill off each other in major wars to leave more room for, quote, their people. It's an age-old struggle. The enemy figured out a way to get us to diminish our numbers without even, wars are bad enough. Now he's got us down to our birth rate is below the replacement level.
We're taking ourselves out.
We are taking ourselves out. Our disobedience and our ignorance. My people suffer from a lack of knowledge. Hosea said, well, guess what? The Proverbs also says, my people suffer from a lack of vision. We've lost the vision of the kingdom. We've lost the vision that we are a special people, set apart, peculiar. That's what the Greek word keltoi meant, where we get the word Celts. We are Celts. We are a peculiar people, set apart by the Father with a mission here on earth, and we are killing ourselves off in disobedience to our Father, stiff-necked as we are, thinking we're going to go our own way. And what's the scripture say? A way seems right unto a man, but it leads unto death. Death of not only the man, but his family, and of a race. An entire race is hell-bent on destroying itself rather than take a look at God's law and deciding God's law means more than what man's law means, or even worse yet, I will take God's law over what my neighbors might say. Oh my gosh, I don't want to be called a bad name. I mean, we are a pathetic people today, from the top down.
You also...
we got to wrap it up quick.
In that rant, real quick, there, you also made a point that how many times in the scripture does a man do something wrong and his whole family pays for it?
Often.
His family, he is a patriarch, he is responsible, and if that man does something wrong, then his whole family suffers for it. And these women have to realize that they need to get under the righteous Israelite man to be under their
coverture.
Because that's what's going to protect them and take them through the fire.
Amen. And we're out of time. We certainly hope we didn't offend. Our job today or our purpose was never to offend, but it is to get the truth out there and to get topics in front of you folks that don't seem to be touched by too many folks out there, and they are important, very important topics. Keep an open mind, as it says, I believe, in Thessalonians, test everything and keep that which is good. And you base what is good on our Father's word and nothing else. And that's what we encourage you to do. Sharice, thanks for being my guest.
Thank you for allowing me to share it with you.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with you Monday night. Brad will not be able to do the program, so I'll be back with you Monday night at 8. And have a great weekend. Yahweh bless everybody and protect. Stay strong. Stay with the Father. And hallelujah.
Hi, I'm Steve Quayle, and for over 10 years and thousands of hours of radio broadcasts, I've been warning and preparing individuals and families of the great perils that are now upon us by having interviews with some of the more interesting and controversial guests in the country. It benefits you to listen in to my previous radio broadcasts, which are available by subscription to archiveondemand.com or by calling Steve Melching at 260-356-2611. Time is running out. The information you may gain could mean the difference between life and death. So once again, call Steve Melching at 260-356-2611.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places besides on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America. Get the Berkey Light, the American water filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the internet at realityradionetwork.com.
Coming up next is Cry Aloud, Spare Not. With your host, Troy Miller. Now, once again, here's your host, Troy.
Greetings, brethren, one and all. May he bless and keep every one of you. Tonight, I thought we would talk about something that is very near and dear to my heart, and apparently to at least one of my listeners out there. Last week, I got an email, and a gentleman by the name of Jerry, I know his last name, but that's for me to know and for him to know. But anyway, I don't know where he's calling from.